Okay, finally have a chance to talk about the very last church in a series of churches in the book of Revelation. Okay, our text is taken from Revelation chapter 3 verses 14 to 22. Revelation chapter 3 verses 14 to 22. Let us read these responsively and I shall begin. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. In unison, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We now come to the last of the seven churches and the worst. And I do not know what you feel, but I am sorry. Because there is not any part in the Bible so instructive, so comforting to the children of God, and so fitted to awaken those who are not in Christ. Therefore, it is that I'm sorry that we are now come to the last of the seven epistles to the seven churches of Asia. Laodicea is interesting because Paul speaks of it. He says in the second chapter of Colossians at the first verse, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Again, he speaks of them in the fourth chapter at the 13th verse. "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." In the year of our Lord AD 64, Laodicea was overthrown by an earthquake. But it was rebuilt again, and it was much finer than before. There were in it three theaters and a circus so large that it held at one time 30,000 people. It was in the year AD 96 that Christ sent this epistle to them, and in a few years after, Laodicea was overthrown by a second earthquake, buried under its own ruins, and never rose again. And it is now quite uninhabited, quite desolate. See how true Christ has been to his words to all the seven churches. Roman numeral 1. The character of Christ. The character of Christ. Letter A. The Amen. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 14. The Amen. Amen, Amen was Christ's favorite phrase, translated as verily, verily. Amen means in the Hebrew to be true. Christ is true to all He says. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, and to the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. There may be some of you who wish you had the Holy Spirit. Now Christ is true, and He has said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. I will send Him unto you, for though He tarry, yet wait for Him, for He will come, and will not tarry. The promise may be long delayed, but never comes too late. Christ makes two kinds of promises, threatening ones and comforting ones. Now, there may be some of you whose only hope is that Christ will not prove true to His words. But He is the Amen. Do you think He will take away that word Amen and put liar instead? Christ will be true to His threatening as well as to His comforting promises. He is a destroyer as well as a savior. He is the Amen. It is written that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Letter B, the faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. This means that Christ bears true testimony. Number one, He witnesses true of our condition. These things are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11. Christ never flatters. He tells us our true state. He makes us no better than we are, and no worse. He is nature's sternest painter, but her best. If Christ were revealed to any of you tonight, you will go away and say, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? John chapter 4, verse 29. And then, number two, Christ witnesses true of God. Christ witnesses true of God. He witnesses of what He has seen in the bosom of the Father. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. John chapter 1, verse 18. We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. John chapter 3, verse 11. Number 3, Christ testifies what is in the heart of God towards sinners. He testifies what is in the heart of God towards sinners. How willing He is that they should be saved, because He knows it and has seen it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. There is no rest for the soul like being in the love of God. That is rest. Not until then can the soul say, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Psalm 116, verse 7. And number 4, Christ witnesses true about Himself. He witnesses true about Himself. Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. John chapter 8, verse 14. He bears witness of His love. He bears witness of His dying. He bears witness of His steadfastness, setting His face like a flint. And He witnesses that He has got the tongue of the learned, that He should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. See for yourself Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Letter C, the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. And that brings us to a very familiar verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. It was Christ that set the sun and the moon to run their golden race, and placed the stars with their lights of fire. It was Christ that gathered the earth together and formed the rivers. It makes creation sweeter. It makes the trees sweeter to know that all is the work of Christ. And it makes us more sure of the world on which we tread. We might be afraid that an earthquake will come, but we know that nothing shall happen but what is the will of Christ. He touches the hills and they smoke. Psalm 104, verse 32. Christ seems to have taken this character, the beginning of the creation of God in Laodicea, just as much as to say, I sent the first earthquake, and if you do not repent, I am able to send another. Let us look at Roman numeral 2, the character of the church. The character of the church. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The church had two peculiarities, lukewarmness and self-righteousness. Christ has a word suited to every part of the character. Let us take the first of these, letter A, lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. There are three things spoken of. First, number one, the cold. The cold. Who are the cold? Those who are frozen. Those who are icicles. Those who give heat and who take no heat. A dead body is cold and motionless. The hands are clammy. And the cold dew of death is on the forehead. And a cold dead spirit is far worse. Galileo cared for none of these things. See Acts chapter 18, verses 12 to 17. Are there not many Galileos among us, those who care for none of these things? No wonder that there is so much corruption when there are so many who are spiritually dead? The wonder is that the children of God are kept at all. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, they would soon have no life. Second, number two, the lukewarm. The lukewarm. Who are the lukewarm? Those who have the form of godliness, but who deny the power thereof. Those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Those who are faithful at ordinances, who come every Sunday to church, who are faithful in the world. Those who are almost persuaded to be Christians. Now, that is what Christ hates most of all. He would rather have you to be cold or hot than to be lukewarm. Could there be some of you who mock at such a thing as warmth in religion and call it enthusiasm? Who mock at having affection to Christ? Could there be some of you who do not love to hear that word asked, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Who do not like to hear of a broken spirit? Who do not like to hear of the forgiveness of sins? Then you are the lukewarm. Turn ye, why will ye die? Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 11. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Those who almost go to the gate of heaven, but who have never come to Christ, will have a deeper place in hell than licentious sinners. Third, number three, the hot. Who are the hot? They are the dear children of God. Those whose hearts are burning with love to God and with love to the brethren. They are like the seraphim, always burning. Let us see now the other part of the character. Letter B, self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Lukewarmness and pride always go together. If there are any of you who have been offended at what I said tonight, you are the very persons, the self-righteous, the moral people. There is one sweet thing here. Christ never threatens only. After the threatening comes a counsel, and after that a promise. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James chapter 4, verse 6. Oh, the love that is in the heart of Christ. He says in John chapter 7, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You think you are rich and increased in goods? But see what God says in the first chapter of Isaiah at the 11th verse. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You do not know the misery of being out of Christ. You think you are rich, although you are poor. You are a beggar. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. When you go home tonight, perhaps some of you will say, what could the pastor mean by telling us that we are miserable when we are quite happy? And what could he mean by telling us that we are poor and that we are blind when we see quite well? But this is just because you do not know, and Christ knew that. For he says, thou knowest not that thou art wretched, etc., etc. Verse 17. And yet observe that although you are so proud, Christ is meek and lowly. Although you be so proud, he counsels you. He advises you, but then you do not want it. Now, whether are you or Christ to be the wiser? He advises you to buy of him gold tried in the fire. Verse 18. All of Christ's gold has been in the fire, the fine gold of heaven. And he counsels you to buy of him white raiment. Verse 18 too. Raiment such as no fuller on earth can white them. Now may God put this within you, that after all, Christ may be right. Does he offer anything else? Yes, I solve. I see everything in the Lord Jesus. This I solve is the oil of gladness, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Now Christ will anoint you with this tonight if you trust in him as your Savior. That would lighten your eyes. You would go away saying, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The character of Christ, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the character of the church, lukewarmness and self-righteousness. Now let us look at Jesus' promise in conclusion. Christ was like a merchant in a marketplace advising you to buy of him. And now you have gone home. It is supper time. And he follows you, wishing still that you buy his wares. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 20. I have been standing at the door and am standing still. There is not a more touching passage than this in the whole Bible. Jesus had been long standing at the door of your hearts, and he knocks at it in the Bible. Every time you read it, that is Christ knocking. And he knocks at your door by godly friends, by godly parents. And he knocks by the words of pastors, the words that come into your mind of those pastors who have now gone into retirement. And Christ knocks by providences that have met you in your family, by lost friends, by the fairest flower of your flock being taken from you. And you thought it was a rude hand, but it was Christ. It was Christ who wants to reveal himself to you, who wants to be a savior to you. It was Christ who wants to be revealed in you and wants to manifest himself unto you in another way than he does unto the world. And he has knocked in your hearts in these 7 epistles. The Lord has been in this place, although you knew it not. He has stood until his head is filled with dew, and his locks with the drops of the night. He has pleaded by his blood and by his tears. Now, if you will hear Christ's voice and open the door, what does the Lord Jesus say he would do? I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 20. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. How happy to have Christ sit down with you at every meal. How happy to eat bread with Christ. And now we have come to the last of the 7 churches of Asia. And we must leave them. And observe, I take you all to witness that the last word of Christ to you was a word of kindness, a word of mercy. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me.